Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Black and Abdallah, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
It's Black and Abdallah. Pat the Designer's in for Abdallah tonight here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. We're talking football with you at 312-332-3776. Matt in Streamwood, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my phone call. I appreciate all you guys do for the Bears and
fans
for me. To ask you guys both, now, for me, I'm fine with Caleb Williams for the number one pick. I'm fine. You know, I've been fine with that for a long time now.
Right.
I see what they see. But for me, for the number nine pick, you guys, I know I heard you guys and your optimism for the Bears next season that they take Caleb Williams to get like the 9 or 10 wins. For me, it's for Matt Eberflus. I am scared to death for him. Like, my trepidation this year for Justin to get to 8 to 10 wins was, you know, he had to be better. For me, for Matt Eberflus, I don't know how he can get to 8 to 10 wins. But for me, for that number nine pick, if, you know, if one of the defensive ends is still there, or if they could trade out of that number nine and pick the one of those defensive ends like Turner, Verse, or Latu, and that like the 10 to 20 pick,
sure,
and then pick a second round pick, you know, to get that wide receiver, because I know you guys said it's a wide receiver heavy draft class. Yeah. I just scared, besides Montez Sweat for the front four, that someone opposite Montez Sweat for Matt Eberflus to get to the quarterback besides Montez Sweat, because I just don't know how Matt Eberflus can get to 8 to 10 wins based on his defense besides Montez Sweat to get to his – I'm talking about his front four. I'm not talking about the back seven, but I'm just saying, for me, I don't know. I'm hoping the best for Matt Eberflus, because I do not want to see him be fired at the end of this year, because this team plateaus at 7 or 8 wins or underperforms because the defense besides Montez Sweat can get to the quarterback. So I don't want him to be fired. So that I just don't want no more from like what Mitch Trubisky and Justin had with their coach being fired in their first year. I'm tired of that.
Right.
Thanks for me, guys. So thanks, guys.
Thank you. Thank you for the phone call. What do you think the Bears should do at nine?
Listen, I hearing Courtney Cronin today on the Chicago Bears podcast talk about them going out and trading for Ryan Bates, it seems like the feeling is that Ryan Bates is going to be the Chicago Bears starting center, and then the backup that they end up getting from the Rams is going to be who ends up filling in as the backup center. But he's going to start the season at least as the center. I think that
Coleman Sheldon.
I think there's a belief that this kid Bates is going to be pretty good because Ryan Poles was very high on him, wanted to sign him a couple of years ago. If that's the case, if you get a left tackle that falls to you at nine, and we've had multiple guys that break down offensive line on a Chicago Bears podcast, tune in Monday through Friday on the ESPN 1000 app, like, Braxton Jones just is one of those guys where he's good. He's really good for a fifth-round pick, but is he good enough to stand there and protect your rookie quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
If Olufoshanu's there, I don't believe Joe Alt will be there, but if Olufoshanu is there, I think you have to take Olufoshanu. If you get a Roma Dunze maybe falling to you there, I think that because you feel confident enough in Braxton, you could go there at nine. I think my dream scenario of trading back, getting more picks, and getting JPJ is getting a little more bleak by the day as we go along with this. But that my dream scenario would be to trade back. But if there's those names on there, it's going to be really tough for Ryan Poles to pass them up.
I have two schools of thought. One would say it's a lot of fun to project out some of the wide receivers or the defensive ends being available at nine and selecting them and saying, okay, maybe the Bears escape the first round with two all pros, right? Quarterback and then an edge rusher. It's a lot of fun. It's also fun to kind of daydream about Roma Dunze and Caleb Williams having a connection much like Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, both kind of at the same point of their career, entering the league, you know, that type of thing. But realistically, in my head, the other thought process that I have is looking at the draft board. The Bears entered this draft with only four picks.
Yep.
They have the two in the first round, the first and the ninth pick. Their next pick after the ninth pick overall in the first round is in the third round. It's the 11th pick in the third round. And then they have a fourth round pick, which is the 22nd pick in the fourth round. And that's it.
Yep.
They only have four picks. To me, the realistic side of my brain is saying, you absolutely cannot stay at nine. You have to acquire more picks, whatever it is, in the second round, later in the third or the fourth. You can't only draft four players and just be good. Pat, I want to, the fan in me wants to daydream about wide receivers.
Yeah.
And I also understand the seeing a Dallas Turner being available or seeing a big name on the board like Jared Verse sitting there at nine and what he could do, the destruction off the edge that he, the other side of Montez Sweat and what they could kind of go after quarterbacks in the NFC North. But, like, I just keep going back to this idea. You can't only have four selections. And if you take a player at nine, that means you absolutely are trading out of that third-round pick, the 11th pick in the third round. You're moving back because you need to collect an additional fourth, an additional fifth, somewhere else. You need to do something to get more bodies. That's where I'm sitting right now with my thought process.
Here's what I'll say. How much do you believe Ryan Poles believes in what Caleb Williams is going to bring to this team?
I think a lot.
What does that mean for next year's draft capital?
Well,
you've got a second-round pick that comes from the Carolina Panthers that probably is going to be a high second-round pick because I don't think there's a lot of belief that the Panthers are going to get it right next year. You've also got your slate of draft picks next year. If you believe that there are players that are going to make Caleb's life better this year versus next year, well, yeah, there's still going to be some good talent out there. Why wouldn't you package some picks to try and get back into some of the rounds this year with some of those teams where maybe you sit there and go, listen, you want to add a player here, but you're also more in a long-term plan. I can give you multiple picks for the future.
When are they winning?
I think you got to be winning this year. I think you've got to be.
I agree.
I think that there's no way that you can say we're going to go off a 7-win season, have everything you had, add to the team, right? Add wide receivers to the team. You added a, unfortunately, more healthy version of Eddie Jackson with the ball hawk type with Kevin Byard, although much more willing to tackle, much, much more willing to tackle people on the field.
Yeah.
When you look at it like that, right, you're talking about the additions this team has made. You don't see a team that's going backwards. You don't see a team that's sitting here saying that I have to, we're okay with a 7-win team, because we've had offenses that we knew coming into the season were going to be, whoever's playing QB, you better not screw it up. And our expectation of that team was to go out there and win 10, 11 wins. Why? Because we had Briggs, because we had Urlacher, because we had Tommy Harris on that defensive line, because we had the dogs already in place. You better go out there and you better be a team that wins 10, 11 games. You should not be a team that comes out here and wins 4 or 5 games. Now, we didn't always get that. But that was our expectation because of what we had on the defense. This defense is really good.
Yeah.
And this offense is being built not for the quarterback to have to overcome to be successful, but now where it's difficult for us to see a scenario where a quarterback can come into it and fail.
Yeah, and I that's where I definitely agree with the idea. If you win 7 games with the way last season went with a quarterback, at best was average. In most games, he played poorly.
Yeah.
There were a couple of games where he played well, but there were a lot of games, the Kansas City game, the Cleveland game, the two Packers games, where he was not good.
He was not good, yes. There was bad.
I find it hard to believe that the defense will take a step back to the point where they're not winning at least 7 games.
Yeah.
And so you add in how you kind of laid out there, the way the pieces are being put into place. Better quarterback play should lead us to 8, 9, 10 win range. That like we're, and at that point we're trying to win.
Yeah.
And I think covering this team and following everything that comes out when they speak, they're sick of losing. The rebuild thing is a 1-2 season thing to get dead money off your books and to hit the bottom of the pool and to spring right back up. Teams go from last to first in the NFL each and every season. There's a team that surprises everyone every single year. They make the playoffs. No one saw it coming, and it happens every year. The Bears want to win.
Yes.
And so I think that's where you bring up the point. You look at the draft capital for next season. Are they willing to move pieces and to sacrifice to get into this year's draft, knowing that it's now go time? Now the foundation's there. We need to acquire top-level talent to put around the top-level quarterback, and Montez Sweat, the top-level defensive end that we have on the defensive side, and this team's ready to go. And I'm totally with you. And we were kind of discussing this earlier today, is that the win total in Vegas for the Bears is at 8.5 wins.
Yeah,
I think it's a good number, because I could see 9. I could also see the improvements offensively maybe not getting the jump start that we expect because it's a rookie quarterback. Although, as I go back and forth in my head, it's like, well, at that point, isn't that basically Fields? I think no matter what happens, Caleb Williams is going to come in here. He's going to be better than Justin Fields, at the very least.
He's in a much better situation. I think 100%.
But Pat, he's a better player.
I can't say that.
I
haven't seen him.
But you
watch
him in college.
I watched him in college.
In college, he was a better passer from the pocket.
Yes.
And so, and that's where you look at it, and you look at the talent that Caleb had at USC and the talent that perhaps Justin Fields had at Ohio State.
Yeah.
And you can kind of grasp that
thing is, you got to put it on paper. It can't just be on paper. In theory, yes, Caleb should come in. He should be more ready to go. The one thing that I love that Caleb did that Justin didn't do in college and struggled to do at a pro level is attack the middle of the field. Caleb Williams, well more willing to attack the middle of the field, and he completed his passes at over a 70% clip at the middle of the field. I love that about his game. I think that speaks to more of what Shane Waldron has wanted guys to do over the last couple of years. But the one thing for me is, on paper, everything sounds great. Listen, I watched Tim Tebow be one of the best college quarterbacks I've ever seen in my life. And literally in the NFL, it was just like, oh, God, what are we doing here? Tim, please. But the situation is also different. That is the biggest thing that gives me confidence that Caleb, it has nothing to do with Justin for me anymore. Justin Fields was put in situations to fail. He just was. First year, Matt Nagy, he's got no left tackle. Jason Peters, 40 years old. You're not going to have success. Second year, it's a teardown. Third year, go figure it out. Go be amazing. It didn't work out. Okay, I'm fine with that. Caleb Williams is not being put in that situation. And that's why, on top of everything else, my win total expectations are higher for this Bears team, because you should come in and look better than Justin Fields. You want to know why? Because the number two guy that you're throwing to is not Darnell Mooney. It's Keenan Allen. The number two guy that you're throwing, the number three guy that you're throwing to, could be better than Tyler Scott or Velus Jones. I think that the situation that Ryan Poles has put the quarterback position in now, we could go get any of these top three guys and feel really confident about the success that they're going to have coming in.
Anthony Orlando, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
What's going on, Anthony? How you feeling, man?
Man, I'm feeling really good. I'm honestly, to be honest with you, I am a Jazz fan, but I really think that Caleb is actually going to do this. Speaking like you guys was already talking, Pitt, on a lot of my points, I do apologize. The mid-range, like, all that is really good with him.
Yeah.
And he takes his time in the pocket. You know, he runs when he needs to run, not just to run. So with that being said, I get it. I'm all for it. Let's go. Let's have this thing that where we can have a quarterback that actually knows what's going on. And I know he's a college guy. We don't know what he's going to do, but I really have this feeling in me that he's actually going to do it.
All right, got you down.
Do it.
Thanks, Anthony.
I love it.
Thanks for the phone call. We go to Derek in Brooklyn. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Derek?
What's going on, Derek?
Hey, yo, Black Pat, yo. The designer. What's going on?
What's happening, man?
All right, two-part question.
Mm-hmm.
First question is, if the Bears was to trade back, and I know you guys are just talking about the defensive side with Dallas Turner and the other cat, but how do you guys feel about Chop Robinson, number one? And the second part of the question is, I know it's not the sexy pick, but as far as receiver, let's just say the other three guys was Harrison, Doomsday, and Neighbors wasn't there. Would it be so bad to get a guy in line receiver like a Brock Bowers, or to get the dude from Florida State? I'll hang up and listen. Love you guys. Bear down, go Bears. Let's do it.
Thanks, Eric. Thanks for the phone call. Brock Bowers or maybe Jared Verse, I think he was pointing to, unless he was talking about the wide receiver from Florida State.
I think he was talking about the wide receiver from Florida State. But Brock Bowers, unless you feel like Brock Bowers is going to be leaps and bounds better than Cole Kmet, which maybe he is, you just pay Cole Kmet a lot of money. Like a lot of money for a tight end.
Yeah.
I'm not going Bowers. I'm not going Bowers here. I think you got bigger issues.
Well, look at the other great quarterback combinations. I mean, a lot of really good quarterbacks right now have reliable top end wide tight ends who they can go to. Kittle, Kelsey, you know, those are teams that are always in the mix winning. If you can get a tight end, like, I don't think, to me, a tight end like Brock Bowers is a receiver. He's a receiver. I don't get hung up on the tight end. So, I mean, if you grade him out as a better player than Rome Odunze or Malik Nabers, and he's sitting there at 9, I don't have a problem if the Bears take Brock Bowers with the 9th pick. Because, to me, you have an outlet valve for your quarterback over the middle. You have a guy who has done it in college. Yeah. He is an imposing physical force. He makes crazy catches. And that's exactly what we see teams in the playoffs utilize the tight end to their success and to go deep in the playoffs. I wouldn't have a problem with that.
And Gerald Everett's probably, I mean, that's a short-term move, right? Like, you hope that he can find a home here. He knows the system. He's able to integrate into it really quickly. But it's probably a short-term move,
yeah,
realistically speaking, instead of something where you're going to see 5 years Gerald Everett still on the roster. All I would say is, if we feel that Justin Fields, and I know how you feel about him, that Justin Fields was not an adequate enough quarterback, Cole Kmet was able to muster out over 700 yards, get 6 touchdowns, 9.8 yards per reception. Good tight end. I think Caleb comes in. No, I don't think he's elite. But then the question is, what can the quarterback that we all believe is going to be in a great situation turn you into?
Right.
What can he make that guy? Because no matter what we believe this offense is going to be with the wide receivers, with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, we know the safety blankets on this team are going to be DeAndre Swift, Gerald Everett, and Cole Kmet, because more times than not, those are the guys close to the quarterback for the dump offs or the short passes.
Yeah, and Everett was great for Herbert, so I could see it certainly being the case for Caleb Williams moving forward. And the wide receiver that Derek was talking about, Keon Coleman from Florida State. He's the 6'3", 213 wide receiver for the Seminoles last season. It's Chris Black. It's Pat the Designer. We're talking football with you at 312-332-3776. Where will the Bears build their new stadium? Well, Kevin Warren talked about it today. We'll tell you about that next.
Black and Abdallah, ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports. Listen to the show in HD at 100.3 HD2 FM.
I saw this earlier today. Sydney Sweeney. You know who that is?
Oh, yeah.
Sure, most guys are aware of who Sydney Sweeney is.
I just found out. I had no idea who she was when people lost their mind on SNL.
Really? Really?
It's
appointment television.
I mean, I'm cool.
We made sure it was recorded. Not a fan.
Just don't know her work. Never watched Euphoria. I found out she's from Euphoria.
Yeah, she is.
I am a sports nerd. I watch a lot of sports, so that's kind of my limit.
I never watched Euphoria, but the wife watched it, and so I would hear like softcore porn in the other room, and I'd walk in.
Is that what she's known for here?
No, I mean, but that. How else you describe Euphoria?
I don't know. I've never seen it.
Every time I walked into there, I would walk to the fridge. Every time I would walk into the room, into the kitchen, there would be a sex scene going on the TV, and I'd be like, "What are you watching?" Oh, I'm watching Euphoria. All right, I would go in the other room.
I only recently learned that she's not Charlie? Australian. I thought she was Australian until like.
Charlie, we're trying to describe a scene here.
Now, here's my issue with it. And because I know Charlie, I feel like it's fully because her name was Sydney.
You think she was like Nicole Kidman's daughter or something?
I didn't think it was like, well, her name's Sydney. Surely that means she's from Australia. But I just think some of the wires got crossed in my head.
Yeah.
And yeah, I thought she was from
Sydney,
Australia.
It's because she filmed anything, whatever her last movie was, that whatever. In Australia, so that's probably why, Charlie.
I was there for years with Johnny Depp like that.
Oh, really? You thought he was Australian?
No, I thought he was just from somewhere in the UK because, like, he's always playing in some role that he has, like, a British accent or something like that. And now he just kind of talks like that all the time.
I think he lives over there.
Does he? So I probably just adopting the accent from being around us so much. But when I found out during the trial that he's from, like, Kentucky, because I was like, the things that you're saying sound very not UK. Like, these don't sound like problems that the UK has.
So what I was saying, Charlie, see, the thing is, I would walk into the room and I would reappear and there'd be another scene going on the TV, and I'd be like, what is she watching?
Yeah.
It's Euphoria. Sydney Sweeney in the Wall Street Journal said that she gets 2 hours of sleep and she's never had coffee. Could you function off of 2 hours of sleep? And how has a person never had, like, I get it, medically you can't have coffee.
Right.
But if you can't, how do you, and I know Tyler Aki is listening to the show, and I think Tyler's one of those weirdos who doesn't drink coffee.
Yeah.
And Tyler, I'm talking specifically to you.
Right at you.
How does that happen, man?
I am somebody who has operated off of 2 hours of sleep. It's how I got here. Appreciate you guys for pulling up and listening to us. Like, literally, my journey to getting on with ESPN and stuff like that was a lot of working 16-hour days as an electrician, going home, making content.
Sure.
And then you're like, oh, God. I got a shift that starts in a couple hours. We got to figure it out. But I went the absolutely unhealthy route. I'm slamming 3 monsters a day, an Oreo and a cup of coffee, and I'm ready to fight God or become them, one or the other. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I was living life for years. So I don't know how she's doing that without coffee. Maybe there's something else she has in her life that offers some kind of endorphins. Hey! Oh,
it's my allergies.
Oh, my goodness. Is that post-nasal drip?
It's spring.
It's
spring.
Seasons are changing.
Yeah, I don't know what she could be doing to keep her up all night, and that she would only need the 2 hours of sleep. But also, as a famous person, you get all the sleep you want. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do.
Yeah.
Like, a part of being famous, I would assume, Sydney Sweeney, it's being able to say, I'm not doing this until 10 o'clock, until 11 a.m.
How long is
Rich people don't have to get up early to do things, to have tasks, to sit in traffic, to live like we all do, to work a job like you had to do. They're not doing that.
I think you get to that point.
You can sleep all that you want.
I think you get to that point because of that, though. Because there's usually that worth ethic or grind behind it. Now,
please.
I don't know this, right? I don't know what all Sydney Sweeney has going on. I just found out about Euphoria literally probably a week and a half ago.
Well, she's the next It Girl, Pat. She's the next It Girl.
Okay. I don't know what that means.
She could be the Meryl Streep of our generation.
She
I don't know.
See, the young guys are all about it. They all know.
That's the one. Okay. Shout out to her.
Yeah, we have Jake and Charlie.
Are you guys all in on it?
We're so all in.
Oh, my goodness.
See?
Calm down there, Jake.
See, this is what I'm telling you.
He's growling back here.
Hey, yo, whoa. What's going on back there?
All right.
I don't know. I just, I don't know what kind of business endeavor she has going on. Maybe she's trying to be a billionaire and not just a regular old millionaire. You know what I mean? You never know.
I don't get the never. So you were drinking Monster energy drinks?
Yeah.
I do coffee.
Yeah.
I drink coffee.
I do coffee as well.
I had
a problem. I just found out.
How do you have a problem with coffee?
No, I had a problem with drinking too much caffeine. I just found out that, like, a lot of the anxiety that I would end up getting.
Oh, for sure. Of
fully
course.
Attributed to me slamming four monsters and a coffee trying to stay up on a 16-hour shift.
Yeah, right. Like, a part of it is, with moderation. Like, to me, there is nothing greater than waking up and acquiring that cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Like, that's the best way to start a day.
It feels natural. I've cut back my coffee a lot less because I'm finally able to get up a little bit later in the day. But
and it's great, isn't it, to not have to rely on it to get you through, but to enjoy it.
It's more of a, now I'm almost getting ready to do the, like, okay, what flavors do what? Almost maybe becoming a bit of a coffee snob, because before it was like, I'm not here for the taste. I'm here for the caffeine. You know what I mean? Like, I'm here to stay up. That's all I need.
See, I love the taste. Coffee ice cream is my favorite.
Oh, wow.
It's delicious.
Affogato?
Yeah. It's
so good. Do you ever drink
good.
Decaf? Like, do you just want the taste of it?
You know, I'm not against it.
Yeah.
I just don't. I just take the caffeine.
I want to feel it.
Yeah, I want to feel alive. Speaking of wanting to, speaking of wanting to feel alive, you want to play a game, Pat? This game here on the show is called Door 1 or Door 2.
Ooh.
Which door would you like to go to? Door 1 or Door 2?
I'm gonna go Door 2.
We go to Door 1. It's Eddie on the north side. Hello, Eddie.
Great show tonight, guys. So I just wanted to point out the most important positions in the NFL right now,
okay,
and for the last 15 years, sure, is the quarterback and the tight end. Because of what Brady has done with Gronkowski, what Mahomes has done with Kelsey, that is it. You switch anybody up, any receiver, plug them in anywhere, get rid of the highest paying one, you plug them in and they win Super Bowls. So that, to me, is the most key thing, and that's what the Bears need to draft, is this guy Bowers. If he's that good, you bring him on to the Chicago Bears, because that is the key opponents to winning Super Bowls now.
Okay. Thanks, Eddie.
All right, guys. Have a good night.
You too, Eddie. How are we doing here? You enjoying the program?
Yeah, I'm making some stuffed artichokes right now.
All right.
Oh, just for yourself?
Yeah. Just chilling, doing some, making some food for the family. I love the show. You know, I love it when you guys switch it up too. It's awesome.
Now, I don't get the stuffed artichoke, because you pull off the leaves, right, and then you just like suck on it, right?
I microwave the whole thing.
Have you had this?
Chill them out, and I make the good breading with the garlic and
But don't you don't eat the leaf, right?
Throw them in the oven. What?
You don't eat the leaves, right?
No, you eat the ends of them.
Yeah. You eat the little end. It's such a production for such a little product.
I don't think it's that big of a production,
Black,
dog.
I'll bring you one at the Metallica
concert. I've had them. Just bring them one. Bring them one,
right,
Eddie.
All right, there he is. Eddie on the north side. Yeah. Now, have you seen this? It's... You pull off the piece, and then you have this little nub that you kind of chew on.
I've had them. I'm not mad at it. You're not a fan of it.
It's just so much work for nothing.
I don't think it's that much work, dog. How much work is too much work in the kitchen for you?
Clearly this.
I mean,
this is clearly it.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
That's it.
ESPN Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. Black and Abdallah are back on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Pat, earlier today at the NFL owners' meetings, Kevin Warren from the Chicago Bears was talking to reporters, and he talked about the focus for the Bears and their new stadium building plans. Their focus is in Chicago.
We are the largest landowner in Arlington Heights right now, 326 acres. We own a beautiful piece of land, and I have great respect for Mayor Hayes and Randy Reckless and all of the politicians there. So, you know, my belief right now, these projects are incredibly difficult, and just learning the various things that I did in Minnesota, you have to be laser focused. And right now, we're putting our energy to downtown Chicago, you know, to the museum campus, just from an energy and resource standpoint. So we still own the land. We're the largest landowner. We'll stay in communication with Arlington Heights, but the focus now has to be on Chicago to give us the best opportunity for success.
Warren continued on the question about how close are you to giving the public a plan for this new stadium. Here's Kevin Warren earlier today.
Our plan is here in the not too distant future to be able to get together and lay out a plan, not only with renderings, but a video, the financial plan, and so we can display it to the public. And so we're working on that here, and we know from a timing standpoint it's important for us to finish it. So we've been working diligently every day to finalize that, and we're getting close to have a plan ready to take public.
And what we've known from what Kevin Warren has told us is that a couple months ago he said that we're a couple months out from having those details and a plan in place, because every moment that passes, as time goes on, the expenses of building a new stadium go up.
Yeah.
So they need to get something set in stone here's what the plan is, and actually start with this. There was an article in the Sun-Times over the weekend quoting Kevin Warren and some of the behind-the-scenes movement with the politics of this and what's going on, suggesting that the new stadium will be where the Waldron Deck currently is, and it will use some of the south lot, and that they will turn the current Soldier Field structure into a parks place and use some of it for parking. And then the other thing I pulled from the article that was on the Sun-Times from Sunday or Saturday was that the Bears are they're suggesting a infrastructure improvement for the city around the stadium with Lakeshore Drive, and essentially they want to connect, and they're suggesting a connection of Columbus Drive to the roads that go around Soldier Field, where it would go underneath Lakeshore Drive. Essentially, it's like $1 billion in road work and construction that would be around the stadiums. And the thing that I thought about that, Pat, is before we even get on the conversation on should the stadium be on the lakefront, should it go to Arlington Heights, to me it's like, well, if they're going to do that with all that road work, like, this won't be finished for 10 to 15 years. Like the way this city handles road construction, like, how do you expect all of that to be done to play a football game in, like, less than 7 or 8 seasons?
Well, there's probably going to be some way to get to the stadium that's like a detour until then. You would think, listen, the one thing Illinois is great at is its detours, right? I got to go 7 miles out of the way to get back to this stadium. I got to go to Wisconsin to get back downtown to Chicago to figure out how to get down there. But
We're all pulling up to the harbor in boats.
You know what I mean? Like, they're going to figure out a way. You pull up to the harbor, they airlift you into the stadium, and you actually have to jump out and land into your seat. But I love the – we have a GM, we have a president of basketball or football operations that is not taking no for an answer. He told Arlington Heights yesterday's price is not today's price. Because I'm not mistaken, right? Arlington Heights did a 50% tax break for the Bears – following that first year, am I not correct? Like,
yeah, they adjusted the tax on the land that they currently own. So the adjusted prices are way below than what it was originally there. So essentially, like, the way I read it is as if Arlington Heights gave them what they wanted.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Like, it's probably, listen, fine, you win. You can have the tax prices at the prices you want. And our president of football operations walked in and said, no. You missed it. You missed the opportunity. Your chance was here, and you didn't want to take it by the horns. And because of that, we're going to stick with downtown Chicago, which, by the way, if you're bidding for things, which is very big with Kevin Warren, he wants to bid for these events. Which city sounds better? Hey, I'd love to have March Madness in Arlington Heights. Or I'd love to have March Madness in Chicago. Hey, I'd love to have the Super Bowl in Arlington Heights. Or I'd love to have the Super Bowl in Chicago.
It would still be Chicago, though. Like, I understand that pitch. But, like, all the events would be downtown except for the games for these events, right? Like, if the Super Bowl was given to the Bears in a new stadium in Arlington Heights, the Super Bowl would be labeled Chicago.
100%.
You know what I mean? Like, all this stuff, the media days, all that stuff would be in Chicago. Yep. It wouldn't be out in Arlington Heights. But I understand your point. They want this infrastructure to be built in the city limits. And I think, like, just as a fan, where would you prefer it to be?
Personally, Arlington Heights, because I feel like the drive for me would be easier to get there coming from Westchester than trying to get downtown on a Sunday. Listen, I live my life in traffic. I did a lot of construction work. You got to drive through a lot of traffic. I live my life. How long is it going to take me to get here? I live 12 miles from the station. On a Sunday, that's 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, minimum.
And I live in the city. I live on the north side. I'm in Avondale. It, to me, getting out to Arlington Heights, I think would be a little bit longer of a drive. It obviously would be based on the map, but I think the convenience of getting in and out would be a little bit better than on the lakefront. The reason I ask this is it seems as if fans don't really want it to be on the lakefront.
Yeah.
I don't think they care.
I don't. Here's
I don't think this is being done with the fans.
No.
wants or needs being a part of this. Well, I think what this is leads back to what you were saying.
Yeah.
He wants the bids for these bigger events. And I'm sorry, the blue collar, the everyman, the people who are diehards of this team, it's great that you support us. This isn't really going to be for you.
Yeah.
The convenience of the stadium, not going to be for you. Because I don't know anybody who answers with, it has to be on the lakefront outside of Michael Wilbon. He's the only one. And you hear him on Waddle and Sylvie, and he's very insistent on that it has to be on the lakefront. All of my friends don't care.
Yeah.
Now, if they can do it and it's accessible and it's convenient, because quite honestly, I love going to the United Center. It's easy to get in and out. You can go any direction. Yeah. I can get home. I can zip in. There's parking. It's great.
There's random parking lots. There's so much space. It's just
if you,
like, is that
if
a
you
empty
build
lot?
Me a football stadium where I can have that experience, I would love to have it in the city. It's just down there on the lakefront with a $1 billion project in infrastructure around Lakeshore Drive. I just don't see how that's actually going to be more beneficial for the fan base, especially you build it there. There goes the tailgating.
I mean,
how many? You know, a part of enjoying a Bears Sunday is the tailgating.
Yeah,
a lot of that's going to disappear with this new stadium.
Well, and I think that's the part, the one part of all of it that if Kevin Warren were to do this, that you would still see, that you would see probably more of an effort put into, is because we've heard him bring this up a ton, right? How to get in and out of the stadium, how you're going to deal with the parking situation and stuff like that. He does hear the complaints, but realistically, I think the biggest difference for our fan base versus some of these other fan bases that are going to football games just because there's a team in their city is we're going to the football game because we want to see the football. We're going to a football game because we want to see our team win. You could put a winning team in Lake Forest's field and none of us would care and we'd pack that place out because we want to see a winning football team. But the fact that you're going to get the opportunity to also be able to add in some additional parking, also be able to maybe make it so that you can be a little bit closer to the stadium. I don't have to park 7 miles away and walk there, right? That's kind of the one part where if he can't figure that out, then you're like, he doesn't care about us at all. But what he keeps talking about is kind of trying to figure out how to make that happen.
Yeah, it's just you, you have a house, a two-bedroom house, but you want to sell it as a three-bedroom.
Yeah.
Well, you got to add a third bedroom. Yeah. Well, there's no space for a third bedroom. But I just really want to sell it as a three-bedroom house. Well, how are you going to do that? Well, you can't. At a certain point, you can't. There's not enough space there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like I understand he doesn't necessarily not care what the fans think, but I'm telling you right now, it is not more convenient just plopping a stadium right next to the current Soldier Field.
Yeah.
To me, a part of the game day experience that I find extremely frustrating is it's impossible to get in and out of that place.
Yeah.
And when I say that place, I'm talking about the general area. To get out of the museum campus is a nightmare. If you're walking and you're doing the March of the Penguin walk in the cold, you got a 30-minute walk to get to the Red Line or to the Loop. If you're driving, you're sitting in the south lot for an hour after the game waiting to be able to go north on Lakeshore Drive to go north out of the city, or you can wheel south and around to get out. Like it none of it makes any sense. It's no. Not convenient. I think that's the thing that they may be risking with younger fans. I think generations above us, you and I, and the fact that we're millennials and we kind of grew up we kind of grew up with this way of life, like this is just how it's always been, so we got to do it type of thing. Where younger generations, I don't think they care. I think they care more about the convenience. Like guys like Charlie and Jake, I think to them it matters more, and especially people younger than them, that if you make it convenient, people are going to continue. And I'm not saying that they won't support the team. I just, if they're going to build a new stadium, I want it to be the best and be convenient and to be a place we could be proud of for generations to come. You know, like I don't want to have to do this in another 15, 20 years. Oh, well, they built that second stadium next to the old stadium, so we're going to go for the three-peat.
Right.
We're going to plop a third stadium right there in the south lot and just have them all lined up there.
I hear you. I don't disagree with you either. I just think that you try to find a way. Yes, there's not enough space, but how Kevin Warren is operating, I don't think that he's in a situation to compromise here either. I don't think that he's the one that's sitting here saying we're willing to take the back seat. I think that's what the Arlington Heights deal is. Now, would it be a lot more convenient with everything to just build up what I've called it? You got to change the name of the city, Hallis Heights, right? Like if the Bears move there, yeah, I think it would be a heck of a lot easier. But figuring out a way to make things to where you're going to want to go to that stadium, I think that's why Kevin Warren's here. That's what he is good at. Those are the decisions he's really good at making. And so, and like, I have a little bit of trust in Ryan Poles building this team. I'm going to have a little bit of trust in Kevin Warren figuring out this stadium thing.
Oh, he's done it. He did it in Minnesota. Yeah. I've gone to that stadium. I covered a Final Four. Abdallah and I went up there for a Final Four, and it was incredible.
And
absolutely
overpass
incredible.
Action, maybe. Maybe we get something built up where we can walk to it in the warmth.
Oh, yeah, sure.
6 miles long.
keep holding out for that, Pat. It's going to be a 30-minute walk from the Red Line. That's how you're going to have to weave through the museum campus, the whole thing. Chris Black, Pat the Designer. It's Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. The Song of the Night's coming up next.
Chicago's home for sports. Black and Abdallah. ESPN Chicago. Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. You're listening to Black and Abdallah on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Thank you to Charlie Bevins and to Jake Cantu for producing tonight's show, Black and Abdallah. Pat the Designer filling in for Abdallah. It's the final night of spring trading. We'll be back tomorrow night, Black and Abdallah, 6:30 right here on ESPN 1000. You can also catch Pat on YouTube, ESPN Chicago, and the ESPN Chicago app. You can find the Chicago Bears podcast right there. Check Pat out. Check out the podcast. They're doing great things. Check it out on the ESPN Chicago app. Who's your guest tomorrow?
Tomorrow we got J-Mac on. J-Mac
right.
Going to be
Jason
in the building,
McKee.
Breaking it down. And
Fantastic. Listen,
responding to all of the things that we have heard from the owners' meetings.
Yeah, it's great. And there's a lot of things to talk about in the NFL. Before we get to the Song of the Night, I do want to mention this. I saw that Tom Pelissero is saying that he's heard that J.J. McCarthy, in some circles, is the second quarterback on the board. Come on now. This, you can't jump up the draft boards because of the workouts.
Listen.
The workouts, and we get fooled. Not me. People get fooled by this. The Jim Short workout, the Zach Wilson throw with no coverage. It's what McCarthy did the other day. He's not the second pick in this draft. Come on now.
Listen. You already know which circles it is. I am telling you that fifth pick is going to come up, and Jim Harbaugh is going to be sitting there, and he's going to be like, listen, I love this Herbert kid. I think we could do some great things. But can I convince you on this? J.J. McCarthy. This kid, greatest quarterback out of Michigan you've ever seen. Wait a minute. What?
It's crazy, Pat. And when you like compare J.J. McCarthy to some of the others and what McCarthy accomplished last year, yeah, he won the national title. Michigan ran the football first. Like, Jaden Daniels threw for 40 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. McCarthy, 22 touchdowns, 4 interceptions.
Yeah.
You look at some of the other guys, like Drake May at least threw for 24 touchdowns. He threw for 3,600 yards. J.J. McCarthy only threw for 2,900 yards. I would be leery of a team that thinks that McCarthy is the second best quarterback of this class because he wasn't relied on to make the throws like some of the other quarterbacks of this class were relied on. Now, McCarthy, when asked to do things, he did step up, and he was good for Michigan. But they ran the football first. That's what they did. That's how they played. That's how they won games.
It's all about hope, Chris. There's hope out there. There's unknown with this young man. Sometimes the unknown sells better than what is known.
How did it work for Mac Jones?
Mac Jones, how did it work for Mitch Trubisky?
but Mac Jones had a stacked team at Alabama.
Yeah.
Mac Jones wasn't asked to be the guy winning all the games. He just had to game manage for that stacked Alabama team. J.J. McCarthy essentially was in that situation for Michigan this past season. That's what I look at.
But see, Mac Jones is a tough example for me because do we kill Mac Jones for the mistakes of Bill Belichick? Because 3,800 yards, 22 touchdowns, 13 picks, and a 92 QB rating the first year, you think you're on the way, and then he's like, defensive coordinator is the OC.
You can have all the Mac Jones stock if you want. It's time for the Song of the Night.
I wanna rock! Hey, turn up the volume and don't touch that dial because it's time for...
What dial? There's no dial on that.
I forgot we picked this song.
Never mind.
Crank the volume because it's time for Bleck and Abdallah's Song of the Night.
Yo, later.
Tonight's song, we go to Bruce Willis, Respect Yourself, from 1986. Right? Bruce Willis, your Song of the Night. Tonight, this is how we got here. All right, Bruce Willis, Respect Yourself from 1986. We wanted to talk about it being Air Max Day. The Nike Air Max was released on this date, March 26, in 1987. So we thought to ourselves, why don't we look up what the number one song was, March 26, 1987. Let's go with that for the Song of the Night. Unfortunately, the songs at the top of the charts at that time were not great. And then we're looking at the chart, and we see 8th on the Billboard Hot 100 on this date in 1987 was a Bruce Willis song. And we're like, what? And then we had to do a deep dive. What is this?
Here's the tough part about it. Not bad. Like, I don't know if I'm judging this on a Bruce Willis scale.
I think you are.
But it's not bad. Like, I don't feel like this is horrible music for the 80s.
No, it's not. And like, we're trying to figure it out. I was unaware that this existed.
Yeah, no.
Did you know that he put out a solo album?
No clue, but wasn't this a thing for like movie stars and TV stars in the 80s? Like you also had to dabble in music as well?
Yeah, like Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy's a great one, but Eddie Murphy was really, really good at it. I'm not going to lie.
Eddie Murphy was good.
Greatness on a scale of like...
Eddie Murphy better, but this isn't
bad. Eddie Murphy better, but this is... Like, I didn't know he had, you know, vocal levels on this.
I didn't either.
This is pre-auto-tune too, right? Like, there's no Zapp and Roger on this.
So, I mean, this is obviously a ridiculous song. We wanted to talk about the Air Max. It's Air Max Day.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I'm Air Max, you gotta love that it is one of the best shoes to this day to match with anything. If you literally just go, what am I going to put on today? I got some Air Maxes. I'm just throwing the Maxes.
Throw them on.
It is the ultimate slip-on, slip-off shoe probably in the history of shoes.
Yeah, I'm with you. Mine are tied. I never untie them.
Never untie them.
Never untie
them. That is the greatest way. I slide them on. I'm on the move. I'm out. And I come back and I kick them straight off. Every now and then, you got to look for one.
Bruce Willis, Respect Yourself. 1986, it's your Song of the Night.
There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an... never mind.
Crank the volume, because it's time for Bleck and Abdallah's Song of the Night.
Yo, later.
Thanks, Pat. It was fun. Check out Pat, the designer, the Chicago Bears podcast tomorrow with Jason McKee.
Oh, yeah. Tune in with us, man, Monday through Friday.
Each and every day. I'll talk to you tomorrow at 6:30.
This is Chicago's home for sports on FM 100.3 HD2, the ESPN Chicago app, and ESPN 1000. This is Bleck and Abdallah.